pray with me? God, we thank you for David and Kimberly Bissell, their willingness to share their gift of drama with us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this space. Amen. Well, good morning, New Albany Church. I'm Pastor Jean, and I'm glad to be here with you in person and as well as online. So, you've already talked a little bit about the eclipse, and I heard a lot of excitement in that. So, was yours totally cool? I mean, did you get to see the total eclipse? I saw about 95%, but I did get the cool because the temperature dropped, and that was an amazing thing to me. Oh, how fun it was to hear and see how differently people celebrated the eclipse. We've been talking about it for a year and a half now. I heard that at Bevelheimer Park, the kids had a great fun making moon cars out of boxes and rockets, eating solar candy, building Legos. It was a perfect day. Perfect day in Ohio. Cloudy Ohio had no clouds. The day and the time was exactly as they told us it would be, and so was the day. Everybody had glasses. We didn't run out. I'm in awe that this divided world of ours gathered together, pausing to honor the creation and the creator of a perfect universe. The predictability of the eclipse allowed humans to make travel plans that as far out as a year and a half. Every conceivable hotel, park, RV park, Airbnb, hotel, motel were full. Even dog kennels were totally full. My son tried. I loved how the Guardian Baseball planned their opening game right around the eclipse, the pregame eclipse, and then the opening game. You can't get anything better than that. I'm also wondering what the stats will look like for the number of people who got married on that day. I read where in Arkansas there was a mass wedding. 300 couples came to be wed. I'm just hoping that their marriage reflects the uniqueness of that day, and it's a forever event. My favorite eclipse, though, was the event that was impromptu. It was a group that went out to Indian Lake who had just recently experienced that horrible tornado and all the devastation that went out there. And they went there, I mean, they may have had other plans, but most of them changed it, and they went to Indian Lake so that they could support the businesses of that region. God's timing is perfect. Where this event was predictable, our lives are not. Have you ever had something that happened to you that was out of the blue, totally unexpected? You're going one direction, and then it takes you a complete 180. It seemed like that for me in September of 22. In less than 8 hours, I was asleep. I wake up. My life was not as I knew it. Instead of facing my 70th birthday, I was facing what I felt like was my 90th. From working with youth and serving others to feeling struck down in a bed with extreme pain, trying to get up just to be zapped with more lightning pain. And as long as I laid still, I was fine. But I had to get up. I decided to use the rip the Band-Aid off quickly method because getting up slowly wasn't working. I literally jumped out of the bed and stomped my feet, likely in defiance. I wanted to stop the pain, but oh, I was still in pain. But I was up. What else could I have done when there's nobody else there? And note to self, always keep your phone powered up and close by. So now I could get at least try to walk and take care of the pain, numb it with a few hot pads or cold compresses, Tylenol. I even drove myself down the road to the chiropractor thinking he was going to help me. He saw my pain. He said, get out of here. I didn't belong there. All this was or quick fixes anyway. It wasn't healing the real problem that was in me. But for the first time in my life, I suddenly felt very physically vulnerable, susceptible to more problems, and alone. What will I do? Who am I now? I went from athletic Jean to rocking the recliner Jean. Well, friends, welcome to the front row seats of my Diary of Lament. Why, God, why now? How can I still work with kids? They are energetic and want fun, and I need to be that too. I'm not ready for retirement. I was counting on 2 more years. I had plans. Oh, God, forgive me for not treating my body as your temple. How could I let this happen? It's a no-brainer. This injury didn't happen overnight. It had to be building up over a lifetime. And is this the breaking point? Will I not be able to walk? I must be one of those people who needs to be hit over the head to get me to listen. God, you have my attention now. Who's going to take care of me? If I can't walk, I'm a mess. God, you called me to serve your church, to be an encourager. How do I encourage others when I feel so beat up? My mind is on an overdrive. Help me focus. Make straight my path, Lord. I am no longer ageless. My body is broken, weakened in spirit and strength. Heal this wound. It's more than physical, Lord. I can't think straight. My thoughts are jumbled. I can't focus. I can't read. My brain's in a fog. I'm losing trust in the abilities that I do have. I feel unbalanced. What can I do to not make it worse? Feeling so useless. Can't even focus as I lay here, questioning all my decisions I've ever made. I feel foolish, not seeing the signs, thinking that I know best, not taking calcium supplements, something as simple as that, thinking that I eat healthy, straying from a consistent exercise routine, not keeping weight off, ignoring aches and pains, ignoring pains on my feet, not taking the time for my own health, putting work first as I have always done. God, hold me. I need to know you are with me. Give me strength. Oh, Lord, I don't want to sell my house. Maybe I should. This is my home. I plan to retire here. This house is a lot of work. Who's going to cut the grass? My cat? Who's going to help me take care of Archie? Do the laundry? All the tasks I had done for myself over my life here now seems impossible. Why, God, why now? Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Help me take my pain. I started feeling hope at this traumatic time of my life as the church family circled around me. They reached out. Excuse me. They reached out. I had people bringing me food. I had teenage boys doing my lawn, cutting my grass. There were people that helped with the issues of feeding and cleaning a litter box. There are people that came over and changed my bandages after the surgery. Things you should never think that you're going to ask somebody to do. Lord, I just thank you for sending help. We need you and others most in our worst times. But don't we all carry with us some experience of pain and trauma? But too often we are tempted to bury the pain and hide from the past. What if we reclaim the art of lamenting? What is lamenting? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's open our Bibles or follow along on the screen with Psalm 6. Now, I'm going to read to you a different version than you heard this morning. It's going to come from the Message. It's in a more contemporary sound. Please, God, no more yelling, no more trips to the woodshed. Treat me nice for a change. I'm so starved for affection. Can't you see I'm black and blue, beaten up badly in bones and soul? God, how long will it take for you to let up? Break in, God. Break up this fight. if you love me at all, thank you. You're a lifesaver. If you love me at all, get me out of here. I'm no good to you dead, am I? I can't sing in your choir if I'm buried in some tomb. I'm tired of all this, so tired. My bed has been floating 40 days and nights on the flood of my tears. My mattress is soaked, soggy with tears. The sockets of my eyes are black holes, nearly blind. I squint and grope. Get out of here, you devil's crew. At last, God has heard my sobs, my requests have all been granted. My prayers are answered. Cowards, my enemies disappear. Disgraced, they turn tail and run. This is King David. He got himself into a little bit of a mess, and he needed help. Did some of these lines speak to you? Have you heard yourself say or think these words at a time when you were struggling with life? That's how it is when you read through Psalms. Though they've been written by humans long ago, they have grappled with similar life situations as we have. We humans have always been a work in progress. Lament follows when we ask, why God? We turn to God who knows us inside and out, where nothing is actually hidden from him. God meets us in our pain. He wants us to wail in our grief, shout in our anger, throw things in rage, complain and sob out of our true feelings. Though some of these seem harsh and disrespectful to God, God wants our authenticity. Are you thinking you shouldn't complain, that you shouldn't be angry because others have it worse? God cares about you equally. So don't shoot on yourself. David's lamenting took a path to praise. Why was that? David's prayers were changing him. God was changing him. He felt renewed in his faith in God and felt the unexplainable power of the Holy Spirit and the assurance of God's presence. So why do we hide our pain? Turn to your neighbor and ask, why do we hide our pain? We hide what we have not named. That's a fact. My mother lived during the generation that shared little. You know, it's nobody else's business. Don't air your dirty laundry. Unfortunately, this way of thinking may influence other areas of your life where you really need to be very honest. Like when you go see the doctors and they ask you questions like, how are you? And you say, fine. Anything new? No. The conversation continues much along the same lines. And then after a while, my mother, this is her conversation with her doctor, said, where are you? I can hear you, but I can't see you. The doctor reached over, turned off the lights, and said, oh, there you are. Doctor looked at her and says, you have a horrible case of cataracts. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, no wonder the nursing home took away her electric scooter. She was a danger to all. Sometimes our way of thinking can really cause more problems. The culture we live in has made it easy to hide, though. It's shaped our way of thinking about pain. It encourages us to look and act like our lives are perfect. I mean, how many selfies do you take before you post out one of them? And if you're honest, then you know that you go back and you put up the better one. We have been trained to paint on a smile and say, and answer every time, how are you? Fine. Just fine. We're all fine. Everything is fine. Even though it may not be. We are coached to be self-sufficient. Look it up on YouTube. Google it. You can do this. And so we take on that no problem attitude. I've got this. We look to our retailers for help with pain. We call it retail therapy. I just learned this. This is a real thing. No kidding. Retail therapy. We look to our retailers to help us with this pain. They've got everything that we need. What's your therapy for pain? Do you shop for an outfit? Do you buy something new for the house? Do you have a few drinks? Order pizza? Stop for ice cream? Do you travel as much as you possibly can? Do you binge watch on Netflix? Any of these in their own right are not really bad. But what is driving you to them matters. What's the hope you have in those moments? When our wounds don't heal, new problems can arise, especially with retail therapy. It's easy to overspend, and then you have financial problems. It's easy to overconsume the wrong foods, and you know what that does. It's more problems. When our wounds don't heal, new problems can arise. But don't get me wrong, I'd love to believe that an ice cream a day will keep will take the pain away. It's not how it works. Whatever we consume can numb us, separating us from the task of attending to the pain. Problem is, if we don't focus on healing our wounds, they are going to fester, causing more problems. When you have a cut that's infected and your doctor wants to cut it open and to drain it, of course you're going to say yes, right? What could draining wounds look like for our hidden wounds? It's like letting out all of our emotions. See, our emotions have a whole lot of energy in them. Crying, weeping with words. This is lamenting, and it will reduce that. This is why we need to reclaim the art. If you've ever or plan to go to Jerusalem, you will eventually find yourself at the Wailing Wall. Also, it's a prayer wall. They call it the Wailing Wall. Why? Because they are lamenting. Every 3 hours throughout the day, you will see people, Jewish men and women, come to the wall. They will come in prayer, their laments. You will hear groaning and walking, and you'll see a lot of rocking, and you'll see a lot of twisting of hands. Because in our stress, we have a lot of energy. When we have no words, sometimes we cry. Have any of you ever had a really, say, I need a good cry? If you can relate to that, what does that mean? How do you feel when it's over? You're calmer. You've let out a lot. I'm not a scientist, but I do know that if we don't deal with our emotions, the body will show other symptoms, muscle tension, headaches. And recently I heard that it actually, the stress actually helps with infection. Our immune system goes down. When we are calm, we're ready to address the pain constructively. It's time to name the pain. So name the pain. Say that with me. Name the pain. According to Joni Sakin in her book, All Our Griefs to Bear, wrote, all this consumption serves as a shield that keeps us from naming our pains, our weaknesses, our sensitivities, our naivete, our frailty, which keeps us from experiencing the love and closeness that comes from authentic and loving relationships with others, other imperfect humans like us. God takes relationships very seriously. He's expecting us to live in a community and wants us to build growing relationships. Proverbs 27:17 teaches us God's basic principle of friendship. Iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another. God calls us to sharpen each other, make each other better, and they are to do the same for us. Our willingness to be vulnerable, sharing the pains of our life, is what sharpens the other. We learn even more about ourselves as we listen to our friend. Our friends can see how we really are from their perspective, how we deal with pain. Do we ignore, make excuses, don't ask enough questions? If we resist professional help, and the other sees us through their own eyes and their life. Our challenge is to build that resistance, grow stronger from healing so that we can get back to living a meaningful life. So it's good to name or show the cracks and flaws in our lives and give space for God to shine through. We grow closer to God. God joins us in that pain. And we can become good neighbors. As we become more aware of other people's pain and grief, we must be careful, though, who we share with, right? Proverbs 6:4 warns us that faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. So even though faithful friends may say something that we just really don't want to hear, when we know that they have our best interest at heart, it's much easier to take it, and we can trust it. Do you have those people in your life that you can talk to, who you can trust? If not, this is a good place to start. You can talk with pastors, youth leaders, maybe your parents, a doctor, or someone in your small group. What if Instead of hiding our pain, we practice being honest with our pain, naming it, sharing it, and welcoming the grace of the Holy Spirit to the journey with us for a greater healing. That's lament. Lament is all through the Bible, especially in Psalms. It's over one-third of the book. There's Psalms and praises. You can think of Psalms as entries from a personal diary of God's people and their reflections. And the reflections represent their most intimate encounters with God, highs and lows. Jesus lamented in the Garden of Gethsemane before the arrest. What does he say? Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. When he was on the cross and he's feeling the pain of being mocked and beaten, Jesus lamented again. His feelings of abandonment and anguish come out as he turned to God. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? At this, his darkest time, Jesus lamented. God is with us. He wants our pain. Lamenting is an act of faith in God, and our belief that God will listen and that he cares is how we show our faith. Belief that God is who he says he is. You know, the God that is loving, the God that is forgiving, all-knowing, and keeps his promises. Because God is who he is, and he wants us to be who we are. He wants us to be honest. So give it to him straight, the good and the bad and the ugly. Name it and share it with the raw emotions you're feeling, trusting and praising God for all that he's done to redeem others of their brokenness in hope that he would do the same for you. You might be thinking, well, I'm not comfortable talking that way, and I've never prayed that way to God. It feels like I'm telling God what to do, like I'm angry or complaining. Well, it's best to get uncomfortable then. That's how you're authentic. You are not disrespecting God. You're moving closer to God because God is drawn to our pain. He's waiting for you to share. God, we must get honest with ourselves and share that pain. We don't want to forget our wounds. They remind us of our limits and of God's wisdom and power when we really trust God. The Japanese practice an art that has a unique way of highlighting God's work, the art of kintsugi. If you have a piece of pottery that is broken, the pieces are gathered up and reconfigured into the new version of the original thing, like a vase or a bowl. The cracks are filled with precious metal, gold, silver, platinum, and leaving the cracks visible in the pottery allows the light to penetrate the object. It's kind of similar to how God penetrates into us. Kintsugi is a beautiful metaphor for God's healing of brokenness. The finished art emphasizes that without these flaws, our true potential to be more beautiful and precious can't be reached. God transforms us. Lamenting has a benefit beyond us. When we read the book of Psalms, we are praying across generations, lamenting with 20 centuries of real humans who have the human condition of suffering. We see the similarity of our situations. When we lament in community, we often are a result of, which are often a result of catastrophes like wars and tornadoes and hurricanes. We see all on our TV all the horrible reactions from that event. And in solidarity, we immediately look for ways to help, whether it's sending money, sending food, or helping with cleanup. So when we lament with our community, it affects ways, gives us a way to offer a process for grief. We feel a sense of solidarity with one another. We recognize we all go through similar experiences. Any constructive action that may arise from the grief is one that brings hope to those who actually experienced the event. As a nation, we may have been traumatized more than we realized. We have experienced a lot, and seen a lot of images every day of pain with all the school shootings, the amount of gun, the violence, weather-related disasters, hate crimes, political divide, you name it, we've seen it, and it's always on the news. It's like we keep reliving it. Situations that seem hopeless or overwhelming. And so for one individual, what do? We need a whole community. We need to come together. We need to find hope. And lament offers that. Hope returns when we can take part in something, anything, that aids in the healing process of a wound. On the morning after the collapse of the Baltimore Bridge, the mayor of Baltimore was reporting on those who had died from the collapse. And I noticed that when he asked for us to keep them in our hearts and prayers, he continued on. He said, they are not just bridge workers and freight crewmen. They are husbands, sons, grandfathers, cousins, brothers, and friends of others. He humanized them. He named those in pain. God is glorified when we show our solidarity to all those who suffer. We humans are God's agency on earth. The practice of lament affirms our faith that God is active in this world and in injustice. And brokenness is not permanent. It's not permanent. So like any art, lamenting takes practice. So I was thinking we might just start right now. If you have a pen and a bulletin to write on, you can use that. Otherwise, you can think about this in your head. And we're going to take a couple minutes to name something that is in us that we have been lamenting in our own way. And I want you to think about who's in that picture. What emotions do you have about? What do you want God to do? And if you have the pen and you want to write it down on the bulletin, jot it down. If you don't, just close your eyes and get into yours and come to God with your raw emotions of that pain. I will close this out with a prayer. That will be your signal that stop lamenting. Let us pray. It's great to know that you know our pain, Lord, even before we do, that you have put people in our midst, imperfect people just like us, to walk with us on this journey called life. We're not perfect, and I'm tired of pretending or trying to look all together. I don't ever want to have this to be the way I live. We must be getting better talking about our worries, our pain with others. And it's freeing to know that whatever comes in out for how I feel, that God is listening and taking it to heart. And I trust you, Lord, with my healing. Amen.